Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online and on Facebook, and today we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 88, bottom of the page, A Tale of Two Kingdoms. It's our Friday study edition, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is really an exciting part of our study, and we're really examining what Christ has accomplished for us and what that means to us, especially in terms of our freedom. And here in America, freedom is very important to us. It's our way of life, and we do anything and everything to protect that freedom that we have as American citizens. And one of the great icons of freedom is the Statue of Liberty. And if you've ever been to New York City, it stands there proudly, and it just does something to your heart when you see it.
Yeah.
And you think about all of the men and women that have gone before to win and secure this freedom that we enjoy here in America. And, you know, the Statue of Liberty was given to us by the people of France. It was dedicated in October of 1886. It is a female figure that represents Libertas, the Roman goddess of freedom. So it spans way back into history. But, you know, when you look at her, you see that she's holding a torch in one hand and a tablet in the other. And on that tablet is inscribed the date, July 4th, 1776. On her feet, one of her feet lies a broken chain. Well, what does that represent? The fact that we've been set free. Well, and at the bottom of it, there's the poem, The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. It is such a moving statue. And because of what it represents, this idea of freedom and this reality of freedom that we experience. And for many of the immigrants that come this way, that are greeted by that statue, it represents a new way of life. It represents freedom from an old way. Maybe they've come from a communist country. Maybe they've come from some other type of regime where they've been oppressed, where they've been enslaved. And this represents a brand new way of life. And so it is for us as children of God. Our story is a tale of two kingdoms. We were lost in the kingdom of darkness, and through a daring rescue mission, God has set us free, has placed us into a brand new kingdom, a kingdom where we enjoy freedom, a freedom that no one can take away from us. And that's what we want to look at today in detail. And Paul is going to set the stage for us in the book of Colossians. And this is one of my favorite passages. The book of Colossians is probably my favorite book in all of the Bible. I think it just lifts up Jesus like no other book.
Absolutely.
In the New Testament. But it also tells us all that Christ has accomplished for us in this daring rescue mission. Richard, would you read for us that passage, Colossians 1, 13 through 14?
Sure. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
So tell us a little bit about what Christ has accomplished for us. Where were we before we knew Christ? What kingdom are we a part of? And now what kingdom do we belong to?
Well, it's amazing that just so few words could cover so much ground.
Yes.
This dominion of darkness. I mean, that's where we live. We were born into that. I used to think I was born neutral. It was up to me to choose whether to be good or bad. But Paul says something completely different here. Every one of us was born into the dominion of darkness. And if it wasn't for someone else, that's where we would stay. But here comes Jesus, and he's rescued us out of that dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. There's nothing any of us can do about that except let it be true in our lives.
Yes.
To accept the gift given. And what happens when he's drawn us in there? Well, it's the Son. And why is the Son capable of doing this? Because Jesus is the one who has given us redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So something had to happen that made it possible to leave the dominion of darkness and come into the kingdom of the Son, and that was the defeat of sin. And so right here, in just a few words, we have what the theologians call the Christ event, just demonstrated beyond all doubt that Jesus was the one and only person capable of doing what he did, and he accomplished it completely. You should say thank you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. It's mind-boggling what Christ has accomplished for us. You said something very interesting there, the fact that, you know, when we come into this world, we're not neutral.
Correct.
We're born into this dominion of darkness. Now, we have a niece that just had a beautiful baby girl, and, you know, she is so sweet, and she's just got that innocent look on her face. She was born into this dominion of darkness, wasn't she?
Absolutely.
Even in that pristine innocence of her infanthood, there's something, you know, that's true about her that means at some point later in life, she's going to have to experience this daring rescue, isn't she?
Yes. And as cute as they are, I've got a couple of grandkids, and they were perfect as far as I was concerned, until such time as they didn't get something they wanted.
Yes.
And then you realize that all of us have been born into this kingdom of darkness because sin is just lurking underneath the surface. No matter how cute they are, that reality, that darkness is there, and we need to be rescued from it.
Yes, indeed. And Jesus does that through his death, burial, and resurrection. Yes. There's a great passage in the book of John, and we see what Christ has done for us. It's in the very first chapter, verses 4 and 5, and we read this about Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So in Jesus is life. When we're in the dominion of darkness, there's no spiritual life there. We're
correct.
Dead in sin. So Jesus comes and he says, I'm life. I'm the light of the world. And that life was the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So do the forces of darkness have any power to quench that light?
No, none at all.
Absolutely not.
That's one of the mistakes we make in our own logic, is thinking that somehow, you know, Satan might win. He's already lost.
Right.
And you know, Jesus shows up with a flashlight in a cave and says, follow me.
That's right.
You've ever been in a cave, you understand the flashlight.
Yes, absolutely. So Jesus enters into our darkness. A lot of people think that, you know, we need to work our way up to him.
Yeah.
That we need to, through whatever it might be, you know, continue to perfect ourselves and to climb this ladder until we reach a state that we can be welcomed into his kingdom.
Yeah.
There's a word for that, apotheosis, and you know, it's a deification of humanity.
Yes.
We're climbing that ladder, and there's a lot of religious systems that have built their whole religion based on that. They have 33 levels they're climbing up to until they reach that point.
Yes.
But that's not how it works. We can't climb our way up to God. God had to come down to us. He had to enter into this kingdom of darkness. And as he did so as the light of the world. And that darkness could not overcome it. So Jesus entered into this world, and he carried out his plan through death, burial, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. And as I stated in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, God's rescue plan was drawn up by love and grace and was carried out through death, burial, and resurrection. That's not something that we would come up with.
No.
That's not how we would dial it up. But that's the plan of God. It was drawn up by love and grace, and it was carried out through death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul really summarizes that very clearly in Romans 6, 3-4, and Richard, just walk us through this passage, how Christ's death, burial, and resurrection became our death, burial, and resurrection through faith in Jesus.
Okay. So Paul starts out, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So that the picture of being baptized, of being put into the water, is a picture of death and burial. Okay. Well, does he leave us there? No. Let me get there. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we died, we're already dead, we're buried, we're raised out of that water, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, and we come out of that transaction. It's not the baptism transaction, it's the transaction of salvation. We went in dead, we come out alive. And the baptism shows that picture so beautifully. Because if they left us in the water, we truly would die.
Yes, yes indeed.
And we were truly spiritually dead. And so going into the water, which could kill us physically, and then we come out and we're not dead physically, but we've left behind the old dead self, and now we're raised to life with Jesus.
Right.
There you go.
So that old self, that old man, mm-hmm. has died with Christ. The burial is symbolic that old life has ended.
No.
And now you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So it's like an immigrant that comes over to our shores. They want to leave that old way of life,
yes.
so they can adopt a new way of life. They're tired of being oppressed by communism or whatever it might be. They want to be set free from that and experience a new way of life altogether. Well, that's what we have in this daring rescue mission of Jesus Christ. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, we enter into that so that we can be raised to walk in the newness of life.
And it's important to understand that when an immigrant comes here to any country, when you accept citizenship, especially in the United States, you have said, I'm leaving behind all the old stuff.
Yes.
And one of the problems we have in Christianity is so often we get baptized, we come to Jesus, we do all of the things, but what we do is we bring along the baggage and say, can't I bring this along into this life with Christ? He says, no, you can't.
No,
it's all gone.
That's not part of this new way of life. You've got to leave that behind.
Yeah.
As Peter said, you've lived long enough in that old way of life. Let it go. Embrace this new way of life that you have in Christ. Bob?
Well, that's the good news that's coming to you on this Friday study series from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us. You'll find the book and the study guide at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And we want to thank the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to do what we do, and that, of course, is to take the truth, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to so many who are searching, who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. We ask you today to help keep the good news going out over the airwaves and online. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, and when you do, good things happen. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we've died with Christ, we've been buried with Christ, we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's what this death, burial, and resurrection is all about. God wants to give us his life. Jesus said, in him was life. So he brings to us his very life.
Yes.
He wants to give us his life so that we can live as real human beings. That old way, that wasn't what humanity was supposed to look like. That's not how God designed us or created us. That wasn't the purpose that he had invested into us. He gave us the vocation of being image bearers,
yeah.
of reflecting out into this world the very glory of God himself, so that when people see us, they would see God in us. They would see what God was like. So now we've been restored to that. That's that new way of life. Now, our ultimate destiny, as far as this kingdom is concerned, is revealed to us in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Yeah.
So our ultimate destination is with God himself.
Yes.
Now, we think of that in terms of heaven, that when we die, we're going to go to heaven, we're going to go to this place. But here at the end, in the book of Revelation, we see this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And that's going to be our eternal dwelling place.
Yes.
And the good news, that's where heaven and earth have joined together.
Again.
Yes. Exactly right. Initially, it was in the Garden of Eden,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Heaven and earth were joined together. In this new Jerusalem, we see that rejoining of heaven and earth. When Jesus says, "As on earth as it is in heaven," this is the fulfillment of that.
Yes.
This is the end result. And we're going to be there. That's where we're going to be, in this new Jerusalem. And guess who else is going to be there? God himself, right in the center.
Yes.
And all of our lives and all of life itself is going to revolve around him. And he is going to emanate himself through us in every single way imaginable, in such a powerful way. It's going to wipe away every tear.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, isn't it?
An amazing prospect.
Yes, really, indeed. Is. That is our ultimate destiny. So we're already in the kingdom.
Yes.
That is guaranteed for us. So we have to ask the question, in this kingdom, what is the way of the kingdom? How then are we to live? Certainly we don't want to live like we did as lost people.
No. Try harder, do more.
That's right. No. Try harder, do more, or follow the ways of the world, or live to gratify the desires of the flesh. Max out selfish ambition, all of those sort of things. It's all about good old me. That's the old way. The new way is something totally different. And so we ask the question, what does that look like? Okay, you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. What does that look like? What are the marks of this new life in Christ? In other words, what are the new laws of the kingdom, the laws that God has placed in our mind and has written on our hearts? And I think when we look at the New Testament, we're going to see some really exciting stuff here. Again, we're going to go to the book of Colossians. And Richard, would you read for us Colossians 1, 3 through 4?
Okay. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people.
Okay. So what two things do we see that characterize the people of God according to that passage?
Faith and love.
Faith and love.
Yes.
So what are the ways of the kingdom? Well, we get a clue right there.
Yeah.
Faith and love are a part of this new way of life that we've been raised to live. In Colossians 1:5, what else does he bring into play in that particular passage?
The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you.
Okay. So what are the laws of this kingdom of God?
Faith, hope, and love.
Faith, hope, and love. Very simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Those are the three qualities that mark, that characterize every single believer. This is what God has placed in our hearts the moment that we were saved. He placed in our hearts that hope, that eternal hope, and from that hope sprang forth faith and love, a genuine, authentic faith, heartfelt faith in Jesus Christ that then is expressed in love toward others. That's the way this new kingdom works, and that's all driven by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's no longer driven by human effort. It's no longer driven by the ways of this world. It's no longer driven by the desires of the flesh. God has taken this upon his shoulders, and he is the driving force. He is what propels us forward, and he does so through faith, hope, and love. So where did we hear about this hope?
In the gospel.
In the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what inserts hope into our experience. In him was life, and that life is the light of the world. We're looking for light. We're looking for that light at the end of the tunnel. We call that hope. And that gospel brings us the hope. And that hope anchors us. It does something inside of us in such a way that we believe and then express that belief in love to others. So what three qualities does the gospel bring to a person's life?
Faith, hope, and love.
And, you know, we don't pay enough attention to that.
No.
You know, we read about that in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. And he said, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we just put that on a picture frame or something, and we look at it on the wall, but we don't pay enough attention to it. If we want to really know the way of the kingdom, we need to figure out what faith, hope, and love are all about, because these are the things that mark us out as believers. So what happens when the gospel is met with faith, hope, and love according to Colossians 1:6?
In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace.
Okay, so this way of life, this faith, hope, and love bears fruit.
It does.
It bears fruit.
It can't help but bear fruit.
That's exactly right. So wherever this gospel is active in the hearts of people, faith, hope, and love is starting to emerge within their lives, and the result of that is fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, to which there is no law.
Yeah.
This is the fruit, and people begin to take notice. Why? Because it is so drastically different than the way of the kingdom of darkness. You don't see those things out there in the kingdom of darkness. You see selfishness. You see ambition. You see greed and fear and hate and all of those sort of things. But the way of the kingdom is so different. It is marked by faith, hope, and love. So what did God do that guarantees this inheritance according to Ephesians 1:13-14?
He included, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
So his Spirit living in us is the very power.
Yes.
And it's not just a power and a force. The Holy Spirit is a person, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. But it's him that is moving in us, generating this faith, hope, and love, and marking us out as true believers in Christ and holding us until the very end.
Yes.
This is something that changes us from the inside out. Bob?
Well, we are very, very glad that you joined us for this special edition of the study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace study guide. It's available at simplegospelsimplygrace.com. And you know, at Basic Gospel, we're privileged to proclaim this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, every day. And we're blessed to have many of you partnering with us. You know, the need is great, and Basic Gospel has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere, people whose souls and spirits are ready to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you haven't yet joined with us, we ask you to help today to get the answer out to those who desperately need to hear it. Just go online to basicgospel.net, click donate on any page. Well, that's it for this edition. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll see you on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. Bye-bye.